powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Mark Dalton, GM Vice President at Terry Auto Group. Mark, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me this morning.
Oh, I'm super excited to talk about this subject. We're recruiting and team building. But before we really get into the heart of this podcast, tell the audience who you are. What got you to this point?
Well, as you said, my name is Mark Dalton. I'm the general manager and vice president here at Terry Auto Group in Lynchburg, Virginia. I've been here 30 years now, and 26 of those 30, I have been the GM, and the first 4 years I spent on the road as a wholesaler. So which really plays in well to this subject today, because I've met a lot of people in those 4 years when I was wholesaling in and out of a lot of dealerships and established a lot of relationships. But I started in the business as a technician. Right out of high school. I had aspirations to go to school, to go to college, and my grades said otherwise. And I think a lot of other things got in the way, girls and making money and all those things. So I started at a Ford store, Magic City Ford, right out of high school. Started as a lube tech, and I quickly started moving through the shop and was given some pretty difficult jobs that I had no idea what I was doing, but under close supervision, they kept me out of harm's way and managed to get through it. But I did that for some time. Decided for some reason that I wanted to sell cars and wanted to sell them there. They had spent a lot of money on me, training me, and that was not their idea of what they had in mind for my future. But rather than lose me, they agreed to give me a position to sell. And so did that for some time. And fast forward after that, came to work here for Mr. Terry as a wholesaler. And I had a rollback, and I would get in my truck every morning and just take off out on the road. I'd buy cars and take them to other dealers and sell them, and made a nice living there for about 4 years doing that. And then Mr. Terry was close to selling the store, actually, and decided not to do that, and came to me one day and said, Mark said, I'm going to take you off the road. So really, I said, what are we doing? He said, well, he said, I'm going to make you GM. And I'm pretty sure I fast forwarded past quite a few phases of my career there that I should have spent some time, such as maybe F&I manager or sales manager or something. But so I went into it thinking that I knew what I was doing, and quickly realized that this was bigger than me. And so I was humbled, ate some big slices of humble pie. But I learned from every one of those slices. So it took a little while, and we started getting a little movement, and one thing led to another. And this dealership has flourished over the years. We're a Volkswagen Subaru dealership. So years back, if you remember back, in the 90s, Volkswagen and Subaru were a very small blimp on the radar. Within our country as far as volume of sales. So we had to be good used car guys, because we were not going to make a living just off of Volkswagens and Subarus. So that has all changed. And now Volkswagen and Subaru is carrying a much larger market share than they used to. So that's definitely helped. But our guts were used cars, and we had to be good at that. We had to be good at fixed ops. And if not, we would not have survived. We wouldn't have made it this long. And then fast forward a little bit more, we realized that we needed more space. So we opened a satellite store right up the road from our existing new car store, called it the Clearance Center, Terry Clearance Center. And there we started carrying mostly cars under $10,000. And those cars, we quickly realized that the demand for affordable used cars was definitely there. And that went well. And we opened up a second, which is our second satellite store, our third location, called the Terry Auto Outlet. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was here in town. And most recently, I guess our last store that we opened was the Terry of South Boston. So that's about an hour away. And that store is our third satellite store, our fourth location. And it's doing great. These satellite stores have done very well for us. But, you know, to your point, they require people. They require good people. And retaining and recruiting those people is very important.
So I love your story. I had no idea. You know, we've met each other a couple of times, but I had no idea you used to be a technician.
Oh yeah,
that's incredible. I'm great at breaking things.
Fixing well, you know, I make a joke all the time when people find that I talk to some of these students that come through our dealership, and I said, you know, when I was a technician many years ago, we were called mechanics. they're now technicians, and rightfully so. But I was a mechanic. For some reason, I think it feels better to call myself a technician now, but I was definitely a mechanic.
Right. Well, that's a great work history. So let's get into this podcast called Recruiting and Team Building. You know, give us some insight on how do you do a recruiting interview? Is it different from the regular interview that you would do when someone comes to seek a job from you? Like you're recruiting somebody. Just kind of walk through how's that different?
You know, I think the difference in recruiting and interviewing, when I'm recruiting, I have to put my selling shoes on just a little bit here. And so I am building value in our organization and what we do and our culture within our organization to this prospective employee just as much as they are selling me on what they can do. And I think so many times in the past, you know, the idea of sitting back in your chair and crossing your arms and looking at a prospective employee and saying, tell me a little bit about yourself. We have a tendency to do that, and they can tell us all these things. We quickly realize after working with them maybe a week or maybe more that they did a really, really good job of selling. And maybe we should have done a little better job of listening. But at the same time, when we talk about recruiting, oftentimes we're looking for someone that's not already in our industry, that's coming from another industry. So we have to sell them on the benefits and what this thing has done for us. Because they don't know, they're coming into this with no idea. And so we have to paint a picture, if you will. And I think that's a little difference in recruiting versus interviewing. Recruiting is goes just a little bit deeper, if it makes sense.
Yeah. So you have to, if I understand you correctly, you have to ask engaging questions to get that person to talk about themselves. Most people like to talk about themselves, right?
Yes.
And at the same time, you've got to give them the benefits and your Terry Auto Group's core values of why you should work here, right? Instead of working for an HVAC company.
That's correct.
That you're currently working for, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you have to, as you know, as I said, there, paint that picture. But when we're talking to these folks, I'm more about personality. I like to compare it to a hunting scenario. I don't know if you hunt, Corey, but I love to bird hunt. So I've had different dogs in over time, and you know, a bird dog, they have this natural instinct, but we can also teach them to hunt, but we can't change their personality. Their personality is what it is, and we're as employees are the exact same thing. I want to learn more about someone's personality more so than their ability, because if I'm bringing someone in from an outside source or someone that's never been a technician, someone that's never been sold cars or worked in the office, I'm more about their personality, because that's the part I don't have a lot of control over. And I have this saying around here, and everybody reminds me of it all the time. Those spots on the dog's back are the color that they are. I can't change them. I can change the way he hunts, but I can't change those spots on his back. So when I'm interviewing or recruiting, I want to know more about that person's personality. The rest of it, I can fill in those blanks and provide training and education to fix those parts, but I can't change that personality. It is what it is.
I think, you know, no pun intended, that's spot on. I think you're absolutely right. You can't teach somebody their personality, right? That's ingrained in them already. It's too late. But you can take that person that was, you know, a great waiter or waitress and bring him into the dealership and have him be a great salesperson, because you're going to have him go through your steps, your process of how we do it here. And here's the education that you're going to get, right? So what are some top questions that you already have when you're in your recruiting mode that you'll say to a potential employee?
You know, some of these are probably basic, and I didn't sit down and write a list because I fly by the seat of my pants, it seems, more than I'm structured with it. But, you know, a common question that I'll present to someone to just get them to talk, and that's all I want. I want to hear maybe a difficult situation that they've dealt with, whether it's personal or whether it's business related, and their perspective on that. And another question is, you know, tell me about your current job or your last job. Tell me about your boss. You know, what kind of person was he or he or she, and what did you like or what did you not like? And, you know, I think we've all interviewed those people that start talking about a previous employer and just forgive the expression, just start throwing up information that really is a turnoff to me, because if it was that horrible of a situation, you know, did they ever look in the mirror and consider the fact that they may have contributed to this, or is it just the other bosses, their boss's problem? Because I think if you have that person that's always blaming someone else, that's a big character flaw. The fact is, we are personally responsible for many of the situations that we put ourselves in. So, I think blaming someone else for all of those tells me a lot about an employee. So just open-ended questions to get them to start telling me a little bit about themselves, you know. And of course, there's a fine line on what's acceptable and what's not, but you know, I love to hear about the family, and I love to hear about their hobbies and what they like to do, because that's painting a picture for me and what's important to them. You know, if I hear that, you know, we go camping every weekend and so forth. Well, okay. You just told me that working Saturdays is going to be difficult for you, you know? So I think just learning a little bit about them personally, I don't ask too many questions about, you know, if I'm interviewing a technician, the last thing I'm asking him is, how many hours did you turn, you know, at your previous job, or, you know, what level of this did you reach? If it's a salesperson, you know, I don't care how many cars he used to sell. They can make up any kind of number they want. I'll figure that part out once I bring them on board with me. But I don't ask questions such as that. I want to know more about character and personality.
Yeah, I love that angle. I think that's perfect, because that really fits into, you know, this topic of being so key, because there's an issue in our industry, whether it's power sports or, you know, RV or auto, where employees are tough to come by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very much. It's you know, and tradesmen and so forth there. It's ever changing, and we know we've all hired those experienced technicians that, forgive me, but some of them come with a level of baggage that I just can't haul around. You know, it's more than they can haul around, and
yeah.
So I think we have to step outside the box and start trying. This is a saying I use around here a lot, but we have to start fishing upstream. We're really good fishermen, and we fish the waters in front of us, but I don't think we fish upstream enough. So that's certainly what we've started doing here, is looking upstream a little further before everybody else gets to cast a line at them.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And that kind of leads me into, you know, this other question that I just came up with is culture a big factor in let's take a personality that you find is perfect, right? Or even one that you're kind of questionable on. Is culture gonna maybe not change them, but make them feel a lot different than they did at their previous job?
Yeah. So I'll define what culture means to me, and it certainly can mean a lot of things to other people, but culture can mean, you know, religion, race, all these things that means nothing to me. Culture is an aura over this dealership and our stores. And when I think of culture, I think, you know, let's use a good brand example, Harley Davidson. You know, mm-hmm. I personally don't own a Harley, but that's a culture. You know, that's right. A culture around a brand, certainly. Subaru has created a culture around their brand. We as dealers have to create a culture within our store. And you know that you've started to create a culture when you can go around and you can ask independently your employees, or you could come in and ask our employees, for example, you know, what is the most important thing to Mark, and what does he consider to be the number one trait that you could possess? And they're all going to answer the same thing. And first and foremost, going to talk about it all the time till it's just instilled in their brain, is attitude. Not to regress back to me, but when somebody asks a question like, Mark, what do you feel like made you successful? Well, I didn't come to the table, Corey, with book smarts. I already mentioned that. Out of high school, I started as a technician, didn't go to college. So book smarts was not me. I had a lot of common sense. But first and foremost, the number one trait that made me successful was my attitude. That's the only thing that I had. Second to that was work ethic. And a few years ago, I came up with one more trait that I think, and I can explain some of these later, but attitude first and foremost, work ethic number two, and number three would be the opportunities. And I think many people understand or believe that opportunities are given. You know, they'll mention something like, I could say something such as Mr. Terry back in 1996 gave me the opportunity to be a general manager. And I think we have to change that mindset, because opportunities are not given. Opportunities are earned. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they're given at all. So somebody saw something in you to provide an opportunity, and you created that. But anyway, back to those are cultures within the store. And I preach those three topics all the time, every little team building meeting that we have. I talk about attitude. Attitude's a choice. Every day when we get up, we have the opportunity to have a good attitude or a bad attitude, or yeah. What would potentially affect our attitude. Who's going to get in our head today? So if we can manage our attitude, and then we can manage the attitudes within our organization. And there, I think, is where we start creating cultures.
I like that a lot. So now you've recruited, you've got your team together. How do you keep them engaged? Now we're talking about the team building aspect of this, you know, little caveat. How do you keep them engaged? What are your top three things that you do at your level to make sure that your team members know that you care, that their opinions matter?
You know, gosh, that's a tough question, because there's probably a lot of things that we do that I take for granted because we've done them so long. I will say, I'm going to give a little bit of a long answer to that question, but you know, the whole thing that everybody says today since COVID, COVID came about and a lot of things changed. And we have talked about this a lot lately within our organization, how we got complacent and we started taking a lot of things for granted. Business has been really good. We've sold a lot of cars. We've haven't had to negotiate prices. We've raised our labor rates, and profits are fantastic, but we got complacent in the process. And I think we're trying to get ahead of this right now and start doing things to do the team building and so forth. So we're starting to put together a lot more contests, you know, sales contests, service recognition.
I love that.
Yeah, we got a lot away from that. We used to have a board in our service drive, and we're getting ready to start using that again. But, you know, and it said top performers. And so every week we would update that, and the top technician produced the most hours the previous week. He's on that board, just like our sales board up in the break room. We have to recognize these folks. Giving them a paycheck is what they expect. The recognition is not what they expect. And so giving them a little pat on the back, and we do a an employee of the month, and one of the girls in the office sends out a ballot through email to every employee, and everyone independently votes for their favorite employee, and they have to list a reason why they picked that person. So we make a big to-do of it in the service drive every month, and we hand out just a simple little prize. It's a Yeti cup engraved with employee of the month, and
this that's is awesome.
A coveted award. So if the people that have these employee of the month cups sitting on their desk, and they're useful, by the way, it's not just a trophy, but
yeah, they're very useful. Yeah, I love Yeti cups.
So little things like that. You know, my wife years ago sold Mary Kay. Mary Kay, she was a very smart lady, and or is, I guess she's still alive, I'm not sure, but she was a very smart lady, because she said, we have to give $100 worth of praise and a penny prize. And I would go to some of these conventions with my wife and watch these ladies. Obviously, when you're giving away pink Cadillacs, what's not to get excited about, right?
Right.
These girls would turn cartwheels and jump over four lanes of traffic to receive a little lapel pin that had a bumblebee on it or something. And, you know, the little lapel pin costs nothing, but the recognition they received on that stage when they got that pin was massive. And so I think she led a very good example for me to $100 worth of praise and a penny prize goes
yeah on. It makes somebody feel good. So JD Power had an interesting survey. They came up with the top five of what older employees and newer employees, this new generation that's coming out, that really what they really want. So the number one was create and maintain a sense of urgency and purpose, right? That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Number two was team members must feel motivated, right? Motivated is different than it was when I started. Motivation to me was money, right?
Right.
Now it's almost that inner motivation, right? Having that, creating a vision that the employee, when you're not around, still has that motivation, right? Number three was always maintain the best talent for your team. Not letting someone go, right, that has a lot of talent, try to save them so they don't go to another industry, right? And number four was fostering and collaboration rather than competition. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting, collaborating and not just competing against each other, right?
That's true. Yeah, those are fantastic points, and something, I'm like you, even more so because of when I started in this industry. I get caught up in this old school mentality of, look at the paycheck I just gave you.
Right.
I've done a pretty good job of getting away from that mentality, but my son helps me a lot. He's 24. He works here at the store with me, and he helps me a lot with some of those things, because I'll take off down a path and I'll run a scenario by him, and he'll give me his 24-year-old perspective on his views of it, and it reels me in. So it works really good for me, because he knows how I think, but at the same time he can keep me up in the road without me getting over in the ditch on something. And
he's keeping you hip. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah, yeah. I don't know at this point he can hip too much, but he tries.
Mark, we're right up against the time, but before we stop talking about this, I want to get your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service manager or someone that's in your shoes, right, running a dealership, an agent, someone in leadership at the dealership can take away from this episode.
I think just back to this big thing about attitude and how we're hiring and what we're interviewing for. You know, let's not be focused so much on everyone's talent. Let's look at them as a person and then figure out if we have a position that we could train them to bring their talents along to fit that personality. But I think that's first and foremost is interviewing for personality and character. And then beyond that, I think we have to make a conscious effort to keep things exciting. You know, every Friday, we silly little example, we have a ice cream truck coming in, and he comes in about 2 o'clock on Friday, and he's got the little bells ringing and so forth. And he pulls right up in the shop. Well, the whole dealership shuts down for about 15 minutes, unfortunately. But the good news is my folks tell me, they said, you know, if you stop the ice cream truck from coming on Fridays, we may lose some staff. So you know, it's a $2 ice cream that has a lot of excitement around it and what it does for everybody, and they expect it. So just don't take all the little things for granted. Just some of those little things are very valuable. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be associated with a really big paycheck, just some recognition and show of appreciation, I think is another one. And third, I think as I did many, many years ago, sit back and eat a little humble pie every once in a while and realize what's important to these people. It may seem silly to us. We may feel that they're being kind of crazy about some of the important things, such as, you know, letting them off early one day and sending them out of here. Mr. Terry used to do something that was really fun. He would reach out to the significant other, a spouse, and give them a gift certificate to a restaurant and ask them to surprise their spouse with it. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And it was just little things like that. It shows a real appreciation. Don't forget, as an employer, that spouse or that significant other, they get to hear, they're a pincushion. They get to hear all the complaints when that employee goes home. So it's extremely important that we keep them on board, keep them motivated as well, because if they are sitting there endorsing these complaints when the employee goes home, it's a road to nowhere. So we better keep the whole family engaged. We try to do that by having a big Christmas party that includes the family, not just staff, because we want them to be engaged and supportive of that employee, because we're going to have bad days. We're going to go home. We're going to complain to our spouse. And the last thing we need them to do is put gas on that fire. So,
yeah, I love your takeaways. Those are spot on. Thank you so much for sharing those. Yeah, if you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Mark, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question, like I do with every guest. Will you please come back?
I would love to. Thank you, Corey. Thanks for what you do for us too, motivating our staff, and they're excited about having you in the store next time.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.